an alcoholic. And this is Lily, my service dog. She goes with me everywhere. Come on. She may do a public bath. You're warned now. It's really great to be here, and I want to thank Tony and Joe for saying, oh, you want to speak? Sure, we have a cancellation next week. And I'm going, okay. So I talked to my sponsor today. I talked to her a lot, even though she's still up in Spokane, Washington. And I said, okay, it's been a while since I've done this. And, you know, I want to do a good job. And she said, well, anything over 2 minutes is drunk logger your ego, so you can do this. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, this is my opinion, not Alcoholics Anonymous. That's important you know that. That's what it is for me. I used to drink a lot, and I did a lot of other things, so I'm going to use the word loaded so that we don't confuse anybody, because this is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, not an NA meeting. And our primary purpose here is to help another alcoholic who would like to stop drinking. First time I had a drink, I was about 10 years old. My parents are normies, and they decided that we should be exposed to alcohol in the home. Normies do that. You know, there's a lot of young kids that grow up drinking wine in Europe, and they don't turn into alcoholics. Well, I think that I was born one, so I am one of those 10% of the people on the planet that is physiologically, mentally different from the rest of the world. So when I put a mind-altering substance into my body, it affects me differently. And the first time that I drank, my dad had a sip, my mother had a glass, my brother turned his nose up at it, and I drank the rest of the Magnum. And I felt, for the very first time in my life, 10 feet in the air. I felt comfortable. I felt like I fit in. You know, I'm 10. But I never felt like I was walking to the beat of anybody's drummer, anybody's alternate drummer. I was in somebody else's universe's drummer. And I liked how that felt. You know, it felt good. And my dad was so funny. He was like, oh, make sure you eat. You know, don't drink too much water in the morning or you'll get drunk again. And I'm going, water in the morning? Okay, sure. So I spent a lot of time after that looking for that same effect, because I really liked what it did. When I got older, I discovered other things. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s when I discovered other things. And I'm grateful today for those, because I think they got me here a lot sooner than I would have if I had just simply drank. I did a lot of things behind my using. I sold my body to support my habits. I have two children as a direct result of that lifestyle. My youngest one is here today with me, along with my girlfriend who put up with me when I was newly sober. And, you know, when you do those kinds of things, well, for me, I never knew what was going to happen when I put something in my body. I might end up making a lot of money and going to a movie, or I might end up spending every dime I had and climbing a chain link fence in Compton at 2 in the morning to go wake somebody up to go get some more. I've been raped. I've been robbed. They don't call it rape when you're out on the streets. They say you just didn't get paid. I've been beaten up. I've had knives and guns pulled on me. Basically, my disease took me to the very bottoms of depravity. And, you know, I used to stick my nose up in the air when I would go through downtown LA and see guys jumping up and down in trash cans and holding their hands. And I think, oh, my God, I'm not in the gutter. I don't drink out of a brown paper bag. But, boy, I certainly did. Everything that they did, I was just, you know, doing it in a different manner. So what ended up happening is this is a progressive disease, and mine progressed rapidly. And I wasn't somebody most people would have expected would have gone down this road. And I say that because we come from all walks of life, rich, poor, thin, skinny, famous, not so famous, doctors, lawyers, street sweepers. We can be anybody. You know, I happen to be a young woman who went into the military at an early age to get away from mom. Dad helped so I could get away from mom. And good news is jumping a little bit ahead, I've worked through most of those issues at this point. So there I was in my early 20s, and I was doing all these new things, and I found myself pregnant. And I said, oh, my God, God wants me to get sober. He gave me a baby to get sober. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you're not here for you, it's not going to work. because it didn't. Because 3 years and 8 months later, I gave birth to a second child who is also a direct result of what I was doing out there. Both my kids have been raised in this program. They've been dragged to meetings since they were babies. I had a sponsor who told me, if somebody is complaining about your child, just tell them they need a meeting. You know, I've done that a lot. Not just the women, but even some of you men helped me raise my children. You know, they didn't have a dad, so they had their positive role models from you men in this program. And you women taught me how to be a mom and how to be a parent. And all of you, along with a very, very patient sponsor, taught me how to work these steps. And so there I was, brand new, in January 3rd of 1992. I was 7.5 months pregnant with Benjamin. When I was doing what I was doing, he was convulsing inside of me, and I found myself unable to stop doing what I was doing. And I found myself in a place where no matter what I was doing, I couldn't get loaded anymore. So there I was. I couldn't stop trying to get loaded, and I couldn't get loaded. And my head had been given the seed 6 years earlier that there was an option, that there was a way out. And so I got away from the situation I was with a lot of help from my higher power, because I did that prayer we pray, oh God, please help me. And he did. And I wasn't sure he was going to listen, because I didn't think that he really cared about me very much. I never didn't believe in him, but the one I believed in at the time wasn't very nice. The group that I had left 6 years earlier took me back in, and they said, Suzanne, you're sicker than most. We suggest you go to sober living and a rehab, and you're going to be needing to do this for a very long time. And at that point, I had no more reservations about the fact that I was alcoholic. It didn't matter to me what I put in my body. If I put something inside of me, there was no way of knowing what would happen. So I started working these steps. I got a sponsor. I kind of threw myself into the arms of the first woman who smiled. And I ended up a couple of sponsors later, because I really didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't really sure I trusted anybody, especially women. You guys were competition, and you were going to stab me in the back at a moment's notice. And I didn't believe that anybody could possibly be sober 2 weeks, much less 20 years or 30 years. But I was willing to give it a try, because I was desperate. I had been dead on the inside and quickly dying on the outside, and I figured out I didn't want to die. I just didn't know how to live. So for 4.5 years, I worked these steps, and I worked this program the way you guys told me, the way the book said it was. And somewhere around that first 4.5 years, I decided that I could work my own version of it. Well, if you're thinking about that, that's another bad idea. Seemed like a good idea at the time. It did. Everything that I did in my life seemed like a good idea, but then I never gave it a lot of thought. I was about, let's take care of the right now, let's make me feel good right now, and I'll worry about the rest later. Good news is I don't live like that today, which is a blessing. And so about a year and a half later, I had 6 years, 3 months, and some odd days. I'm not exactly clear on the date, because I was going back to some old behavior that I thought I could do without getting loaded. And I found myself sitting there one night with a gentleman who had paid me to be there, and I wanted to feel something. I hadn't felt something in a year and a half that I've been working my own version. So I had still been going to meetings, and I'd still been showing up, but I wasn't working on that conscious contact with a higher power. And I certainly wasn't working any steps at that point. I was just 1 in 12 stepping it and looking good on the outside, and I was dying to get on the inside. So I did what I call a wimpy slip, and I can tell you what it was later if you're interested. In fact, my sponsor at the time was freaked out and said, oh, maybe you didn't. I said, I did. My intent was to alter my feelings. I needed to feel something. Now, for me, I was not only given a second chance and multiple chances, I was given a third chance. You know, God played a joke on me. I have a very wicked, twisted sense of humor, higher power. And I didn't get loaded. I got a headache. And I had to come back, and I had to raise my hand, and I didn't want to do that. And I was mad and angry for about 6 months. And then we went to a Joe and Charlie book study, and my sponsor came up to me where I was hooked in the back of the room with my foot up because I didn't want to be there. And my grand sponsor was there, and an AA sister or two were there, and she was pointing in the book going, this is you. And they were in the doctor's opinion, where we talk about what kind of drunks we are. And I got it, you know. And The sobriety that I have today, God willing, if I stay alive and I don't get hit by a bolt of lightning or run over by a bus when I walk out of here, April 1st, I'll have 15 years. And I have April Fool's Day for a reason. You see, I couldn't remember that date in March, so my sponsor said, we'll give you a new date, one that you can always remind yourself of how foolish you were, what you almost gave up. In that time, it's gotten different, you know. Life happens, and I have a tendency, when I was newer in this program, to imagine a big giant stove and all different kind of burners and a whole bunch of pots on it, and they've all got stuff in it. And some are bubbling away, and some are simmering, and some are blubbing, and some are just barely moving. Well, I have a tendency to run through and turn every single knob on that stove up as high as it will go, so everything boils over, makes big messes. And you know what? I got tired of cleaning up all those messes. I got serious about working these steps. I got serious about doing those amends. I got serious about doing a ton step because I'm lazy. I don't want to have to do that again. I found that for my laziness, if I do a little bit every day of maintenance, like you do a little bit of housework every day so it doesn't get to be a mess, I don't end up building a big giant sack to lug around again. And God and I have a very interesting relationship. That's what I call my higher power. I don't know what you call yours. He, she, it, they, them, some amorphous never.